Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Hey, happy Monday morning. Dusty Hera's gone. Don't know what he's doing. Don't care what he's doing. Luke Anderson filling in for your Dusty and Cam drive into work. And what a beautiful morning, huh?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. You guys start singing for us
morning.
Who do that?
I don't know.
I think Mr.
Really
Hera's recovering.
A songbird, but.
Yeah, well, I think Mr. Hera's recovering from his. Buck, where's the drop? You got it for me? Are you ready? No, see, you reorganized the drop screen, and I was complaining because I don't have a drop screen over here, and you guys have all the fun drop screens, and Buck reorganized it all, and I don't know where it's at. He doesn't know where it's at, and what I'm trying to get from is run for fun. He was running this weekend.
Oh, was he?
He ran.
That's a beautiful idea. What a beautiful weekend to go for a run.
What a terrible idea. Have you ever run for fun in your life?
No, but I've run to get in shape, and I've
again,
I've
a terrible idea.
Run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
My favorite drop in the world. Do you know what that's from?
I don't.
That is Back to the Future 3.
Oh.
When they're in the saloon.
Yep. No, I got it now.
He said, we run. Run for fun. He's an old guy sitting at this. So I'm saying. So he spent this weekend running a buck. Was it a 5K? I don't know. It was 5K. Something like that. His wife talked him into something.
Yeah, it was a hood to coast-esque type relay thing. I think he said he had to run like 11 miles.
Oh.
See, I'm okay with that because I used to do like basketball. Like I'd go.
That's not running. Well, that's an activity.
No, I understand that. I used to do basketball as a way to be like, oh, I'll get my running in and get my cardio. All I would do is I would hurt my ankle and my knee and my shoulder. I have a broken nose from basketball. Yeah. I've got my teeth not clean through my lip playing basketball, shoulder injury. Mm. So I end up just hurting myself because I'm competitive enough.
But yeah, then, I know what guy
but then
you are.
Small and puny
you're the guy
enough.
At the Y with a headband on.
Oh yeah,
and has sweatbands on his wrists.
You're right.
Right,
and
he's gonna and he's gonna under
and forearms. Oh, so we go
and he's
up.
Gonna undercut everybody to make sure that he can't jump, but he's gonna make sure he gets that rebound by undercutting you. Yeah, I know exactly who you are.
You know what though? I'm shoulder check guy. I'm not undercut guy because I don't like going in there because you catch enough elbows to the face and you just kind of stay out of the way. But I am like shoulder check guy. I let you know that I'm there. Mm. So you don't accidentally throw
again,
a bow.
But that's again, why I've retired from all contact sports.
And this is why I've retired as well. And so then I go, all right, well, I kind of still need to stay in shape because my weight loss plan, it isn't better you today.
Yeah.
My weight loss plan.
I can set you up.
No. I know that you
I know somebody.
This has worked since high school is what I am as I'm too cheap to buy new pants with a larger waistband. So anytime I start to really push that 34 waist, I'm like, all right, I need to go for a run.
I'm almost going to catch you.
You're almost getting, well. Listen, I'm
at a 38 waist, which I have not been since I was 18 years old.
See, here's my thing. Since high school, I've been a 34 waist. Anytime I start to balloon beyond that, and I'm like, I'm pushing the limits of it.
There you go, baby.
So my weight loss plan is just stay cheap. But I can't stay do basketball, cheap. And then I play softball, and I hurt myself, and I go do that. Yeah. Running, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to come home with an injury.
Did you know there are old guys and people out there that play number one baseball? They play softball. They have like 90
year olds. Well, but there's old guy baseball and old guy softball. They have
90 year olds playing
things.
Softball.
Yeah.
All these other things that you can do. I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing that you're able to do that. I guess, you know, you got to live. That's why I still have golf. Golf gives that to me, but it's a little bit of activity. I can't imagine going out and playing basketball right now. I'd be in pain for years.
Yeah, but you brought up old guy baseball.
No, old guy hardball league I would go do. That's one thing that I think I would do. I'd hit and I'd play first base.
Yeah, but those guys are competitive. Like,
yeah,
you ever,
that's right. You better not buzz my tower. See, that's again, we don't, written rules of baseball, unwritten rules of baseball.
Yeah.
You don't do that in old man league. You don't buzz the tower.
If old man league baseball guy is listening right now, text into the Better You Today text line 55305. Those guys think they're in the majors.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, those guys are still throwing with everything they've got. They're still sliding in spikes up. Those guys take it really seriously. Because softball guy,
softball guy is dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. But I think baseball guy is that next level up.
No, I think it's, I think I'm going to argue that it's actually better in hardball league than it is in softball league.
Okay.
Because for some reason, softball league guy is still wearing the NHL hockey sweaters the NASCAR uniforms.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that's a special kind of person.
You tried to predict what rec league basketball guy I was. The worst guy at rec league basketball is a guy that shows up wearing his tournament softball shirt sleeves cut off. Because that guy's about 5'6".
Yeah.
But he still rolls in at like a blustery, like 220. But like he stands there with like sucking up his gut to make it a barrel chest to show you how big he is. And he's got no real basketball skills. He's undercut guy. Yeah. The guy wearing the softball tournament shirt is the most dangerous
guy. I can appreciate competition
guy.
As you age. I think that's very important. I think it's good. Gives you a little bit of it's a little out of control.
Yeah. Well, there's testosterone that people need to expel. Mm-hmm. And
that's why you do golf. Golf that you don't have the impact.
I'm with you. I'm transitioning to golf. I'm still terrible at playing golf. We went and played golf this weekend and I had, you know, pretty nice little round going. I was gonna be under 50 on the front nine and then had a 12 on eight.
It's not a good score.
Well, yeah, but you put enough tee shots in the
Roy
in
McAvoy
trees.
Playing with you.
Oh, remember, you're 12. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I stick with golf. Speaking of sports that are a little ridiculous, for the wake up call, I wanted to throw something at you. Let's do that real quick.
Okay.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
So this fits perfectly in line with what we were talking about. This is a guy in sport having a birthday today that reminds me how old I am. Today is the 35th birthday of Travis Pastrana. Do you know Travis Pastrana?
I know that name.
Motocross guy that turned into rally car racer who was the Nitro Circus. That guy made me feel old long before I think I was. But this is a guy that is absolutely fearless. Base jumping, did the first backflip on a motorcycle. I don't know if you remember. Did you watch the X Games? Were you an X Games guy?
No, not really. I'd watch Tony Hawk because that was, I enjoyed skateboarding, but I never really got into it.
This is where Travis Pastrana jumped on my radar. Mm-hmm. So I was watching the X Games, and I have no idea what year it was, but they were in San Francisco. I don't know if you remember this, Buck, where he went and took his dirt bike after winning like gold and whatever best trick, and he tried to do a backflip into San Francisco Bay. And you just go, this guy is insane. And then I think a year later, he did the first backflip ever on a motorcycle when people said it was impossible.
Yeah, I remember him doing like a rally car thing on New Year's 2 where he had to go like straight up a wall or something. Yeah. And he did a bunch of weird stuff. I do also remember a bunch of the more environmentally friendly people in San Francisco being very upset that he had dumped his bike into the bay.
That's exactly what it was. But yeah, this...
Really?
Yes.
You can't just go throwing motorbikes in the bay, Cam.
This is a motorbike?
Yeah, he did a backflip into San Francisco Bay.
Weren't they going to get the bike out?
That's the thing, is no one was sure that they actually were going to. They thought the bike might have just sunk to the bottom, and now you have a bike in the bay.
This was not a planned stunt by the organizer of the event. This was dude going, hey, I'll bet you
I
can do a backflip off that lip into the bay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, there was a little bit of time where I thought I was, the greatest snowboarder on earth. And
look
after
at
I,
you.
Oh, well, listen, I learned very quickly that I wasn't. Speaking of injuries I got in basketball, I nearly killed myself.
Good Lord, Luke. All I hear about is you getting hurt. Did you do anything that you didn't get hurt in?
No, I didn't. Right. I didn't.
To be safer.
Not all of us are.
Life needs to be safe.
Would you like to go through your list of injuries from football?
See, I got paid to do mine. That's the difference.
That's fair, but I always contend that
if I'm not paid to do something, I'm not going to do anything that risks me getting seriously injured.
So you never did anything outside of the...
No, because it was in my contract, you cannot do motorbike ride. I started riding when I was 5 years old. All those other things, I couldn't play pickup basketball, couldn't do anything. It's all built into your contract. Okay. You're going, I probably shouldn't do this.
Before you signed that first NFL contract, no injuries outside of football?
No.
There you go.
No. Except, you know, basic kid injuries when you're a kid. Kid is different. When you're an adult and you're always hurt as an adult, it's time to say, I'm an idiot. Stop.
And I've done this.
Yeah.
It just took me a little bit longer. Okay. You go to the emergency room enough times.
Right.
And it finally gets through.
Like, stop being hurt. I'm an adult.
This is why I always contend. They try to make football safer, right? That's the big mission, is we're trying to eliminate concussions. We're trying to make football safer. For all those kids that ended their football careers at high school like I did, you just go out and you find new ways to get new concussions. Ways. And for me, it was mainly snowboarding.
Mm.
And there's other kids that go
motocross. But you have to live. I'm going to tell you this. You have to live. Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to knock yourself
trees
out.
Trees and ice and
people
and
I found them
hills
all.
And cliffs.
Yeah,
and avalanches.
Yeah, in the break, watch a little Travis Pastrana video. If you don't play football, there's other ways to get concussions. Yeah. That is for sure. One of those, UFC. We had quite the melee on Saturday, and it wasn't necessarily inside the octagon. Mm-hmm. Part of it was. Part of it wasn't. We'll start with that next. You're listening to Dusty and Cam in the Morning. This is 1080 The Fan. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. That is a way for you to tell us when we're wrong. There's a correction on here, kind of, that Pastrana was the first one to land a double backflip. He wasn't the first one to land a single backflip, but I think he was the first one to try it. I was trying to do the research on the line, but I couldn't quite find it. But I remember him trying it, injuring himself. And if I recall, it was Mike Metzger who landed the first backflip. And I think Pastrana's also tried a triple backflip in a Nitro Circus event. So anyways, you can debate that all you want. It's not going to be a Travis Pastrana show, I can promise you that. So we won't go there. This is a little outside of our wheelhouse too, but we're going to start things off with UFC 229. Cam, you watch any of...
I did not. I haven't paid for it. No, I was going to go bum off my neighbor because he pays for it and he did it. I did not do it, but it got home late. So it was like, all right, let's see what's going on. And then they flip on Twitter and all hell broke loose.
Well, that's exactly the way that I watch UFC, because I figured, like, what's the point of watching live? If it's great or there's a great moment, it will be there for you to indulge on and you won't know any different. You get to watch it for the first time on Twitter.
Well, my question was, is if anybody out there stole it on Periscope, if somebody Periscoped it, because that was what Dusty said he was going to do. So he was going to thieve it, which I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's ways to legally watch stuff.
Yeah, but you have to have enough desire to go out and actually find it.
Well, yeah, that's what I figured out. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't have the patience to sit there and want to just flip through that in Periscope and feel like that. I didn't want to do that. But suddenly on Twitter, I got enough all I wanted to see.
Yeah, you got the big moment,
yeah,
right?
I got the hot moment.
Yeah, exactly. Buck, did you try to watch it live? Is that?
I did not. I was in a wedding at Big Sur where I don't think there was a television within 15 miles.
Ooh, Big Sur.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Very nature-oriented weekend.
I can imagine. So for those that missed it, Cam, what happened that was such a big deal?
I don't know. This guy named McGregor, anybody heard of him? I don't know. This Conor McGregor guy. I'm going to preface this again because... Every time we talk, you and I, or Dusty and I, or Buck and I, or anybody on 1080 The Fan starts discussing UFC, we will get, you have no idea. So I'm going to start it with this. I'm not a UFC knowledge individual.
Let's be clear. None of us know what we're talking about. Okay? We just know what we saw.
But I know what I saw. So I'm going to comment on that because I might talk about it around the water cooler today. So I'm going to tell you what I thought. Okay? All right. Okay. I'm not going to analyze.
Okay.
Anyway, I saw two crazy guys with cauliflower ear, fight, and then I saw a melee where Habib, by the way, the story of Habib growing up wrestling bears because his father raised bears is incredible, by the way. So yes. I've never fight a guy that was wrestling bears growing up. That's amazing. And McGregor's a wackadoodle.
So he's a what now?
He's a wackadoodle.
Okay.
He's crazy. And they're all crazy. You have to be a little bit crazy to go in there. But anyway,
a little bit crazy.
You have to be a little bit crazy to get in the octagon.
Crazy, because you know you're fighting a crazy guy.
And it was a great. I mean, you could see, in my opinion, and I'm going to go off some of these guys that covered the sport and showed it. Habib was a much better fighter.
I don't think that's up for much debate from what I've heard this morning.
Overall fighter and having the foundation of wrestling is what I've listened to and what they said is that his wrestling foundation is why he's so amazing. He stood up and he was a great striker. And some of the overhand rights that he threw. But it was the melee that he went after. And supposedly, Conor McGregor's a jiu-jitsu coach was the one he went after, the blonde hair guy. He jumped over. Habib jumped over. And my question is, who's the guy in red that jumped over and got McGregor?
It's one of Habib's guys.
So I, it was, I got my guy, you got your guy. I'm going after your ancillary guy.
Yeah, dude just got choked out. I'm going to go punch him in the back of the head.
Which he flew out of there. Habib, how did he have enough energy to scale the wall?
Well,
jump.
He won the fight pretty easily. He was, it was a 4-round fight, but he was in control the entire time.
It was a Mortal Kombat Hadouken. I mean, he flew through and jumped and just went after the guy. And he said that because they attacked his, what did he say? Do we have the audio of that?
We have his apology. That's not really an apology.
First of all, I want to say sorry to Athletic Commission, Nevada. Sorry to Vegas. I know this is not my best side. You know, this is not my best side. You know, I'm human being and... like, I don't understand how people can talk about I jump on the cage, you know. What about he talk about my religion, he talk about my country, he talk about my father. He come to Brooklyn and he broke bus, he almost killed a couple people. What about this? What about this? Why people talk about I jump over the cage? Why people still talk about this? Like, I don't understand.
Why people still talk about this? It just happened. This is a post-fight press conference. What do you mean, why are people still talking about it? It's like 40 minutes. People don't do that. You jumped over the cage, just like you're saying. Yeah. The guy has enough energy after a UFC fight to jump over the cage of the octagon and start a brawl in the crowd with the trainers. Why are people still talking about this? I mean, it's like 9 minutes ago. Why do we carry it on for such a long time?
You're talking about my religion. I mean, my what is his religion? Is it? I don't know what his religion is.
Apparently, it's the one where you wrestle bears. But yes, I get that.
Whatever that religion is.
Here's the thing about the UFC. Does this not feel like the fight just ended and we're already promoting the rematch?
Of course.
Oh my.
Here's the thing that I want to ask the UFC people out there. We're not stupid enough to sit there and listen to Dana White say it was awful, it was brutal, it was the worst thing ever. I don't think so.
Oh yeah.
I don't think so. I think that was exactly what you want. And in whatever you want to do to promote it, immediately when that was done, the two, I mean, you could just see it already. Let's sign the two. Where's went 6-9 months from now? Year, whatever it was. That melee and spectacle was perfect because now it's going to outsell the next. What it's just going to be unbelievable.
Well,
perfect.
Yeah. Well, we have all the fight analysis that's out there, but nobody's talking about it. Nobody's listening to it. We've got somebody here on the Better You Today text line. Khabib is probably the best grappler and takedown artist possibly ever. And whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
The guy jumped over the fence to fight the entire crowd, and that arena was absolutely insane with just the energy that people had. And I guess the undercard fights were fantastic.
Yeah. I guess overall it was good. I mean, for those of you that watched it and commented on Twitter, you could see that everybody was super excited about it.
And I guess one of the undercard fights was just a bloodbath. The other one was Derek Lewis, and we watched just his knockout punch and his post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, which is hilarious. And Buck is going to try to scrub it and see if we can actually use any of the audio because it may not be FCC appropriate.
When I first saw it, I went, gosh dang, is MMA the combination of WWE and regular boxing? I mean, it's part show. You have to be part show because you're selling a product. And Dana White's looking at this going, this is perfect. It's perfect for our sport. And again, he makes a great point. Conor McGregor's throwing chairs at people.
Yeah,
he's going BS crazy.
Yep.
In whatever the parking garage, and they're like, "Well, it's not that big a deal, you know. Let's temper the expectations." And then you go in there, and you're going to make him the bad guy. You make Habib the bad guy for going out of the ring and going after that. And then, but because that's what Dana White said. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks. Didn't he say, "I can't put the belt on you right now because we're going to get everything thrown on this"? Was that one of the main reasons they couldn't do anything?
Yeah,
because he was terrified that the people were going to get that upset. And it was going to be a melee of chairs and beers and things. And what are people carrying in batteries in there?
What are they doing? The one thing that UFC does that you don't necessarily see in WWE, WWE has a very clear, like, here are the good guys, here are the bad guys.
Yeah.
They just make everybody the bad guy. It's like, pick which guy you hate more. And then you can choose sides. But Dana White is constantly playing that Vince McMahon part, right? Where he comes out and goes, I'd do it, but this place would explode. Everybody's like, dude, that place was about to explode. It's like, well, no, we just said that it would doesn't mean that that is so, but everything is hyperbolic. Everything is life and death. With these guys, I mean, Khabib comes out in his apology statement and goes, he almost killed people by throwing that guardrail into that
bus. And all I did was just jump out of the ring and went feet first at the jiu-jitsu guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dana White is Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
He's not like a professional commissioner. Can we agree? I heard that in Golden Wingo. I don't know who the analyst that they were talking to. He was great. He's an insider, has his own podcast. I'll have to get that. He said, we're expecting Dana White to look like and sound like Roger Goodell. He's not.
No.
No. There's no way he's going to come down with an iron fist and we're going to. No, you're not. No, no.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. He sold UFC for, what?
$2 billion.
Yeah. And the only reason they keep him on is because he's that figurehead that people want to see. His job is to go out there and escalate. It's not
we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about it.
That's
exactly what you want when you're in the promotion sport.
Yep. Well, and this is what happened to boxing, where they tried to distance themselves from it, right? Yeah. They're like, well, we're not Don King. We're not this. Yeah. We're it's all about the art of fighting. It's a sweet science. Mm-hmm. UFC's never tried to pretend that they're that.
Not at all.
And
I will say it's entertaining. I'm going to give it that. It's entertaining. I don't mind watching two guys that want to just go to blows and don't care what they look like. And by the time, I've never seen a ring more covered. My gosh.
Yeah.
It looked like Jean-Claude Van Damme was in there. It was a true blood sport. I mean, it is a blood sport.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, in the fight, everywhere. I think it was Ferguson that won the fight. I don't know. But they were saying that there was blood spattered across the announcer's table. The guys that were broadcasting the fight, Joe Rogan and whoever, were actually getting blood sprayed
and
on them.
And right on cue, as I preface this, here comes the right on cue. You guys don't know how much about you're talking. That's what this guy sounds like. Okay, better you today text line. You guys don't know how much this is not supported. He couldn't control himself in high-pressure situations. And because of it, he might not get his purse. He may lose his visa. He may lose. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I'm not a UFC analyst. I don't care if I don't know anything. I know what I saw. I don't care.
So here's,
you believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. And in the end, we'll look at two clowns fighting with bad cauliflower ears that are super tough, and I wouldn't fight them anyway. So congratulations. You get paid to fight bears.
Well, but here's the question right now.
Good. It's interesting. Fine. But win. You win.
Here's the whole point of this. So this
soccer guy, go have some mimosas and chill out.
This guy's all fired up because he might not get his purse right now. So now we've got controversy.
They don't want to release his money.
Guys that are hooked into the UFC are hooked into every part of this story, right? What's going to happen next? And then you get into the different techniques and the fighting and all of this. Here's my question, though, for you. You've already admitted you're not UFC guy. I'm not UFC guy. Buck, not UFC
anything.
Guy. Nope. Well, you said you're not UFC guy. You made that claim when we started this. You prefaced
don't
the whole
know
thing.
What I'm talking Perfect. About. Started it.
So now we just had this fight. We had the melee that happened after it. If they announce the fight tomorrow, are you paying or are you finding a way to make sure that you watch it live?
I'm periscoping it or I'm sneaking over
to my
neighbor's
house. You're finding a way to watch it live.
Absolutely, I'm watching
it.
And
you did not make that effort for this fight.
That's the insular thing is that those of us that are on the outside that are not people that go, I watch it, I listen to podcasts, I analyze it.
Yeah.
But you, the ones that want to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. Even you, the same soccer people. Same ones that are UFC, if you become mainstream and interesting and those of us on the outside that aren't deep into your sport want to watch it, you should be like, welcome in, please. Thank you for coming in. Yes, thank you. Don't be inclusive. Okay. They'll be like, hold on, our sport is getting talked about. It's pretty cool. It's interesting. Let's do that. Let's help other people like our sport. Instead, you go, you don't know what you're talking about and we don't want to listen to you anymore. So shut up.
All right, fine. I won't talk about your sport anymore. But it happens again, and now we're watching it. Whatever the reason, it is turned into a spectacle, and I think if that's your mission as UFC, mission accomplished. All right, now let's get into sports that we do know about. That is college football. That is the NFL. We've got Major League Baseball as well. There is a whole show ahead. Textual Relations starts off the sports we know what we're talking about when we talk about next. First, let's throw it to Buck with the news.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hera. If you are a UFC fan and you can't stand us talking about UFC because we're ruining it for you, we're done. If you hate the UFC and you don't want us to talk about UFC because nobody wants to hear about the UFC, don't worry, we're done. We are moving
in. Oh, no. The whole show is going to be UFC.
It's just going to be Travis Pastrana and the UFC. The whole kit and caboodle.
Nobody cares about football over the weekend. Anybody have anything happen over the weekend with football?
Well, a little bit. There's a couple things
that
happened.
It was a great sports weekend, by the way. The baseball, football, UFC, and preseason NBA basketball.
Oh, yeah. Who wasn't excited about Nurk dropping 20 on the Yaz? The
Blazers lost.
It's preseason. Right? Preseason. Doesn't matter.
Preseason.
Do games before Christmas matter?
No.
Okay. So, and that's our Blazer talk for the day.
There you go.
That's done.
Yeah.
Now we are moving on to football. Ducks were off this weekend. So I know that a big part of our listener base is Duck fans. So this gave you a chance to sit back and look at the rest of the Pac-12. So whatever your fan base is, whatever team you root for, if you're not a Duck fan, you had a chance to look at your team highlighted this weekend. If you are a Duck fan, you get to look at the rest of your competition. So for Texture Relations 55305, what's your impression of the Pac-12 after this weekend? So we're now what, three games into the conference schedules for most teams. We're 5 weeks in, or through 6 weeks, I guess, of college football. Get a chance to really look at things. So Cam, what's your biggest takeaway from the whole Pac-12 foot view?
I'm gonna start with the two teams that I was most impressed with, and I enjoyed it up until the point into the fourth quarter, and that was the Oregon State Beavers and Washington State Cougars. That game to me, now of course I was watching back and forth between the two, but when Connor Blunt went down, and we haven't heard the full diagnosis of what his injury was, I mean his shoulder and how it went, didn't look great. I mean, he looked like he was in a ton of pain, and then it kind of took the wind out of the sails of Oregon State. But man, Garner Minshew and the Washington State Cougars, for some reason, they do this to us every single year. They start playing really good football, and now they're a serious, formidable opponent that are going to put up tons of points, and I want to see them really get after this later in the season. And now we're looking at Oregon State, which those of you that would have said 1 year prior to where we're at, if you said you could put up those kind of points and see the offensive production like Jahmyr Jefferson is able to do, the future of what you can see, and now not being able to stop anybody, I mean, because that's what Oregon State is. You can't stop anybody on defense right now. You just don't have the depth and the talent. Entertaining football game in that first half. Those of you who are Beavers fans, that was like, okay, we're in this dang football game.
Is it possible that Oregon State could also fire Mike Stoops? Is that a thing that they could do?
Well, there's a difference between having talent at Oklahoma and just not having, I'm not saying you don't have talent at Oregon State, you just don't have the depth. You don't have the guys that are there. Offensively, now you could see why University of Washington is struggling on offense and why Oregon State is much better on offense currently, because Jonathan Smith was the difference maker, and you can tell immediately what they're able to do. And that was it was really too bad for Connor Blount. Just really, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the diagnosis is yet. If it was a separated shoulder, just a collarbone or anything, we got to get on that a little bit. I'll get to check that out. But hopefully it's not too bad. But the running game and the future of that program, okay, on offense, very good. And I think defense will come very quickly. But Washington State, really impressed with how they've been able to put up ungodly numbers on the offense.
Yeah, well, and it was funny because that was Mike Leach's sales pitch to Garner Minshew. Because for those who don't know, Garner Minshew was committed to go to Alabama. Nick Saban had offered him the backup quarterback position and then a graduate assistant coaching role at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So he was a transfer from East Carolina, I believe.
Yeah.
And Mike Leach called him up and said, hey, how would you like to lead the nation in passing?
Mm-hmm.
And
said, why not? We're just going to throw the football all over the yard.
Well, and he still had to earn the starting role and everything. And Mike Leach later confessed that that was the sales pitch he uses for every single quarterback he talks to.
Sure.
But you realize how much fun it is to play in that offense when you have a graduate transfer come in after, 3.5-4 years of Luke Falk, depending on how you factor in all his injuries. But you put somebody into that offense and how much fun it can be and having those guys.
Certainly.
And the other thing that it really points out in that game is exactly what you talked about with Jonathan Smith, and you see it with Mike Leach, and how the talent gap can be overcome
by scheming on offense. You can't make up for it on defense if you just don't have the guys. But if you have a bright offensive mind and you have creative play calling, especially in college, and putting your guys in position to be able to score, how much fun it can be to watch Oregon State with this new offense, Washington State with the offense they've been using for years. I think the future looks a lot brighter for Oregon State today than it did a year ago.
And if we're going to look at some other games from the weekend, certainly Washington fell asleep in the second half. And, you know, it's give UCLA some credit, because that what Chip Kelly's putting together, they have some talent, they have a little bit there. They just don't have the kind of depth. Again, this is just what a system is. I've seen enough Chip Kelly offenses to tell you that it is intimidating when it starts humming, and the defense of Washington backed off and they paid for it. I mean, they did. They're up 24-7 into that half. It looked like it was going to be a blowout. And they went into cruise control mode to get ready for the Ducks for the rivalry week. And that's what happened. You almost lost the football game. You almost fell asleep at the wheel. But that game, you get out, you get in. You haven't won Pasadena since 1995, because I played in that game. That's how long it's been.
Yeah.
Quite some time. And then Stanford just is a shell of itself, because they don't have any depth. And when Bryce Love and you go in and you play Utah, who's going to beat you up front, they just couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the emotions of that game. They just got beat around. I mean, when you get thumped on like they did at Notre Dame, and you come back into your home field, which half the time I go, who's showing up? It looks like it's a campsite on the farm. There's nobody there. And it just Stanford, again, disappointing in games when you think that they're going to run away with it. They can't get it done. And the team that's the most surprising in the Pac-12 right now, Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Colorado Buffaloes, 5-0.
LaVisca Chenault.
How is
Heisman Trophy candidate.
I mean, for what Mike McIntyre had last year, remember the year 2016, really good year 2016, yep. Won the South, had a chance to play in the Pac-12 championship game. 2017, just a debacle. Yep. Didn't play well. And now they've been, that team is, you mean you tell me that South is just, it is a foregone conclusion Colorado's going to win that already. I mean, there's nobody else that's going to give them any chance. But that was a good football team. This Pac-12 is going to be very interesting, and as we talk more about college football, the Pac-12 is out of the college football playoff. It's out.
Yep.
It's gone because Auburn lost, so let's embrace what the Pac-12 will give us the rest of the year and enjoy what this conference is, and we just can just stay out of this unless all hell breaks loose, which is not, and we'll discuss that later in the show of the scenarios that are going to happen now.
Well, the only chance at a playoff is Colorado going undefeated?
I don't even know how that, no, because I don't think they're.
But if they do go undefeated, that would be your.
That would be your only shot.
Yeah. I mean, but their non-conference wins are Colorado State, Nebraska, and New Hampshire.
No, it's just not happening.
Yeah. But that's your only undefeated team right now in the Pac-12, and you look at them making a run for it. Yeah, so it makes it very difficult. We will dive into that. What do you think of that? A Chenault kid, though, how good is he? Two rushing touchdowns out of Wildcat formations, two receiving touchdowns. I mean, having a Heisman Trophy candidate first time since, what, Cordell Stewart?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty outstanding.
And they haven't faced a tough I mean, that's the thing is that.
This was their first real test.
It was. It was a very good team. And I got to give credit to Herm Edwards. He is the surprise coach of the conference for me.
Yeah.
He really is. I don't think that anybody was going to give him the kind of credit to have. Now, he's got Akeel Henry. Those guys are really good. I mean, it's some
Akeel
of the things.
Harry.
Keery. Sorry, Harry. I say Harry. Henry. Yeah. I say Henry, Harry, here.
You're good.
Yeah, it's the same. And if he got hurt during the game, you could see he got wrapped up because he had some sort of thigh contusion, so it slowed him down. And some of the guys that he's been able to fire up, I'm very impressed with. ASU's been almost in every game. Mm-hmm. So that's been a very good surprise for me. And then Arizona goes in and just Cal. Maybe the hangover, what the Ducks did to them. They didn't look very good at all.
Yeah, well, how about the hangover game after playing the Ducks? That's something that we used to attribute to Stanford, right?
Yeah, maybe Oregon is now the hammer, right?
We'll come back and dive in a little bit deeper on the Pac-12 and get to some of your thoughts on the Better You Today text line 55305. Real quick, here's Colorado's schedule the next 2 weeks is at USC, at Washington. You'll know in 2 weeks.
You'll know really quickly.
You'll know very quickly. Yeah. You're listening to Dusty and Cam in the Morning. This is 1080 The Fan. 55305 is a Better You Today text line. You can start sending in your case of the Mondays. We'll hit that about 7:45 and 30 seconds-ish. You can also send in your most impressed, most disappointed Pac-12 teams of the weekend. You mentioned Cal as being disappointed. I brought it up. Is it a possibility that you're getting hangover games after playing the Ducks that come out and punch you in the mouth that hard compared to what they were before?
Very possible. I mean, really, it is very possible.
This may be the way too early preview for it, but your Huskies and your Ducks are playing this weekend. I'm off the rest of the week when Dusty comes back on my show. But since I won't get a chance to talk to you, like after the way, like you said, the Huskies put it in cruise control and let UCLA look like a talented football team.
Oh, it's tough. I mean, the offense that you run versus that tempo, there's those that didn't watch the game, there were a lot of twos in the second half on defense. There were a lot of backup players that were getting some time. And that's what happens. If you get a little lax and they pulled off the reins a little bit and that offense can score, it always has the ability to score at will with speed and tempo. And you could see there wasn't the same kind of attack. And then Miles Gaskin may have hurt his shoulder. So that's good news if you're a Ducks fan, because then you're going to have not the kind of depth. Now, I don't know how bad the shoulder is, but his arm was hanging. And then Jake Browning throws another really ugly interception. But you get out of a win on the road, no matter how it is. I don't care who you're playing in any conference, winning on the road, especially when you travel to LA, which is your recruiting ground for your, and anytime a team from the north, like if Oregon goes down to USC or plays in Pasadena, those wins in LA are so significant because those kids are going to go, oh man, I like that Duck. I mean, look at what the Ducks did. They beat up on UCLA, or they were able to beat USC. That's what Washington was able to do. It was good enough. Now you can be like, got out. It's good. Wins a win in the Pac-12 on the road. And now it's rivalries. Now you get to have 2 weeks off. Oregon's had 2 weeks to prepare, and Washington's going to come in a little beat up, and you're going to host them in your house. And the last time you had that game hosted in your house, we do know what happened. So maybe there's going to be a little salt in the wounds after that. A little salt in the wounds.
Fair enough. Let me get to a couple thoughts from the text line and get your reaction to these. One of them, Beav scored 37 and lose. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's a promising sign, though. I mean,
I said it earlier. You have a very good offensive mind. You have a good scheme. You have some good talent on offense. You do. You're just not there. You're not even close on defense. Yeah. I mean, you're just not even within the realm of stopping it.
It's not just talent. It's also depth, you mentioned, right?
Well, talent and depth go hand in hand.
Well, not always. You can have a five-star linebacker playing, but if you don't have the guys behind him, defense takes – it's a war of attrition,
Well,
right?
You can't get off blocks on the front. Your linebackers can't – I mean, they just can't get off anything. I mean, they're not making any tackles down the field, and you just don't – you're just not there. Yeah. You're not there, and you'll get there. You will. I mean, it will be a much better, improved football team. We can talk about this football team in two recruiting classes and what's going to happen for Oregon. It's Oregon State. Sorry.
All right. One listener surprised. I was absolutely shocked UW moved up three spots.
Why?
It's the guys in front of you, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma lost.
It's not just what you did. It's the guys
Auburn lost. And you're going to get shocked again. Remember how I tell you about these rankings are ridiculous, especially AP poll and coaches poll or whoever does that. The only rankings that matter are coming out here in about two weeks, we're going to get the college football playoff rankings. So surprised at what these rankings, again, mean nothing.
Absolutely
fair. They mean nothing. So you can be shocked you move up to seven, but shouldn't, if you're a Duck fan, be really excited if Washington is ranked seven and you come in and they come into your house, you knock them off. You want to see Washington ranked 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes. Come on. Think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're at 17. You beat a top 10 team. Where does that move you? Just be realistic about how that helps you so much.
Perfect.
Shocked.
One more we'll get to here real quick. And this one I think will turn into a longer conversation. Pac-12 is tied with the ACC at the bottom. Clearly the best team, Washington, barely beat a terrible UCLA. Stanford got embarrassed. Auburn lost again. So now Washington is definitely not in the playoff. The only hope for the playoff, unfortunately, is the Ducks blasting Washington and winning out. And I hate the Ducks. That's Dustin, P1 Dustin.
There you go, Dustin. I mean, he's on a little bit. Did you say that about, Clemson for barely beating Syracuse?
Well, that keeps them undefeated, though. So there's...
That's the thing is these teams, you're going to get these games where you take it for granted. These are 18 to 22-year-olds. You're not going to get Alabama where you have five layers of depth and you just consistently really don't play anybody until you get a couple games maybe late in the year. I mean, anybody that even matches your talent. There's nobody in the SEC that's going to match the talent
until you play Georgia in the SEC championship game. And don't tell me that the LSU game is now interesting because LSU went and lost.
Yes, but...
And Florida is back. I mean, here we go. Florida is back. And now we got to give... The East is going to have more credibility. I'm like, okay, they're just all better at football right now. Conference is going to just it's going to beat you up and around. And as Alabama gives up the most points they've given up in 2 years, most points, I'm sorry, they've given up since they played Clemson in the college football playoff, yet they still scored 63.
Yeah. There's okay. Crazy things happen in college football, though. We always sit at this point and we go, oh, it's written in stone. You mentioned Clemson almost lost to Syracuse. We had Florida State written off, not going to win a game all year. They almost knocked off Miami. These almost victories by the underdog teams will turn into later season losses. I mean, Alabama's never had a perfect season national championship. You know, they've got five national championships in the last 9 years. None of them were when they were undefeated under Nick Saban. So there's going to be hiccups along the way. It always happens. This Alabama team looks like they're going to go perfect, but it never seems to happen that way. Right. You have one injury to Tua, and now you're right back to the team that you had run by Jalen Hurts, who's not necessarily as dynamic a passer, and you're not scoring 63 points every game.
This text says on the Better You Today text line, the Pac-12 getting plenty of respect in the polls when two teams with one loss get top 10 rankings, so it's all on the Pac-12 to garner respect.
Go out and earn it. If you want it, go out and earn it.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, Oregon moved up in the polls and didn't play. Why? Because the teams in front of them stumbled.
Yeah. Would you have three top 10 teams lose this weekend? So there you go. Yeah. Hey, let's get to hot and cool. We'll do that. We'll do it next. You're listening to Dusty and Cam in the Morning, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.